Welcome and thank you for joining us for the Divine Service, broadcast live from you from St. Paul's Evangelical Lutheran Church of Oconomowoc, where Christ is in all things as we receive and give the love and hope of Christ. We pray that hearing God's word, your faith and love in Christ will be strengthened. Pastor Lance O'Donnell is a senior pastor, and Pastor Jason Shockham is the associate pastor. The organist this morning is Ms. Allison Mackey. Pastor Shockham preaches a sermon, The Righteous Run of in Faith.
The Old Testament reading for this 17th Sunday after Pentecost is written in Habakkuk chapters 1 and 2. The oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not hear, or cry to you violence and you will not save? Why did you make me see iniquity, and why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me, strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed, and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted. I will take my stand at the watchpost and station myself on the tower and look out to see what he will say to me and what I will answer concerning my complaint. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle is written in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers night and day, as I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our God, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We rise for the Alleluia and the reading of the Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 17th. Chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "Temptations to sin are sure to come, but woe to the one through whom they come. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than he should cause one of these little ones to sin. Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you seven times in a day and turns to you seven times saying, I repent, you must forgive him. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it would obey you. Will any one of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and recline at table? Will he not rather say to him, prepare supper for me and dress properly and serve me while I eat and drink, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were commanded, say, we are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Now, O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, my God, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. It is 605 BC, 600 years before Christ and Babylon. Babylon has just decisively defeated Egypt, decimating them. And now, this Babylon, this beastly, boisterous, boastful Babylon, is banging at Habakkuk's door, bound and determined to beat Israel bloody. In chapter 1 of this 3-chapter prophecy, Babylon is graphically depicted. Horses swifter than leopards. They have horses fiercer than wolves, and at dusk, their cavalry gallops headlong like vultures swooping down on prey to devour. They are bent on violence like the wind that blows across the desert sand, gathering prisoners like dust. Make no mistake, this isn't just 605 BC. Babylon is attacking us here, right now. You see, John says the Babylon for the church age is everyone and everything that is out to destroy the baptized children of God. He says as much in Revelation 17:5. Babylon is the mother of all promiscuity and all the abominations on the earth. You see, Babylon for us is this world, which appears like a wanton woman coaxing us with her constant come-ons and flirtatious flauntings. Babylon for us is the powers of this present evil age that lure us into bowing low in worship before the full-length mirror of ourselves. Babylon is our own sinful flesh, that which seduces me, saying, you got a little anger floating around in there? Let it fly. You got a juicy piece of gossip you're holding on? Let it rip. You got some lingering lust? Let it loose. Enjoy it. This army of lies and deceptions comes at us with horses swifter than leopards, fiercer than wolves. At dusk they come riding headlong, charging like vultures swooping down on prey, bent on violence like the desert wind, gathering up prisoners like the sand, and we are just dust. Habakkuk is caught right in the middle of the battle beside us with Babylon. And in chapter 2, he describes his next move. I will take my stand. I will station myself. Better understood, the Hebrew grammar is a little specific on this one. Don't you love how we kind of soften the language to make it sound pretty in English? Yeah. I will indeed take my stand. I will indeed station myself. You see, Habakkuk indeed wants a clear and concise word from Yahweh. And Yahweh speaks in chapter 2. Write down the revelation. Make it clear on tablets that heralds may run with it. Make it clear. This Hebrew word, va'er, it means to either make clear in terms of meticulously defining every aspect, or to make clear by writing it in large letters so you can read it on the run. It's only used two other times in all of the Hebrew Bible, and one of those times is quite instructive. That's Deuteronomy 27:8. Here Yahweh says to Moses, "Moses, make this Torah very clear. Make it clear on tablets of stone. Just as Moses made the Torah, the Ten Commandments, clear by writing them on tablets of stone, just so Habakkuk is to make clear this new revelation by writing it on tablets of stone." And the verbal similarities invite us to compare the importance of the Torah and this revelation given to Habakkuk. To put beside the Ten Commandments as of importance, this word from Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. The righteous will live by faith. Oh, we know, don't we? Of course we know. This isn't a new revelation. We've known it since Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed in Yahweh and it was credited to him as righteousness. We know it from Jeremiah, who promises the deliverer is coming, the Davidic king, the Messiah, and his name will be called Yahweh. The Lord is our righteousness. But now Habakkuk makes this revelation of righteousness even clearer still. Like a bold broadcast on a billboard that you can clearly read flying down the highway in retreat from your Babylon. What do these who are harassed and helpless against Babylon need the most? We need to know that we belong to Yahweh. We belong to the Lord, not by our might, not by our power, not by our reason or strength, but we stand before Him righteous by faith. Write the revelation down. Make it plain on tablets so the herald may run with it. And run is what Habakkuk does. He runs in confident courage until he can finally say, in the face of Babylon's treachery, "Though fig tree does not blossom, though there's no grapes on the vine, though the olive crop fails and there's no food in the field, though there's no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stall, yet I will indeed rejoice in Yahweh. I will indeed be joyful in God, my Savior." Indeed. 600 years later, this cry of faith was passed on to yet another runner. And this runner made the righteous revelation clearer still. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, "The righteous will live by faith," Romans 1:17. And oh my, how does Paul run? Paul runs through Romans with some beautiful feet. And he makes clear this revelation that we belong to the Father, that we are justified and forgiven and cleansed. And Paul makes this revelation the clearest it's ever been. Romans 3, "For this righteousness comes from God and is through Jesus Christ to all who believe. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came in Christ Jesus." Romans 4, "He was delivered over to death for our sins. He was raised from death that you and I might be declared righteous. Romans 5, having been declared righteous, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6, by baptism, you are united with Christ's death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, you too might walk in a newness of life. All this righteous running is the pattern of sound words that we have heard, which Paul encourages Timothy to hold on to. Yahweh's climactic revelation. You see, it was not written in 15th century Hebrew by Moses. It wasn't written in 7th century Hebrew by Habakkuk. Oh, it was written that all may read it. It was written as a Roman death sentence in 1st century Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. This is Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Right there on the cross, is where the Father says, he who had no sin became sin for you, so that in him, in this crucified Lamb, we might become the righteousness of God. And what does Paul do with that? Oh, he runs. And he runs and runs. And in his own words, he runs in such a way as to get the prize. He runs for the same reason that our Lord gives pastors to his people. For this is the message that liberates people from guilt and bondage and shame in the battle against Babylon. This is the message that gives us such confident courage that Paul, in his own words, can say like Habakkuk, "The righteous live by faith." It gives us the confident courage in the battle with Babylon to say, I am convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I am convinced of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God for the salvation of all who believe. I am convinced, persuaded thoroughly, that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor things present, nor things future, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate me and you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. So, look out, Babylon. Here we come, the righteous, running by faith. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.